Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. This is your brother Elohim coming to you live out of Philadelphia. We have a very good topic for you today, and naturally, always, always start off with the number one thing that we have to deal with is love. This is why we don't get together. This is why we don't have problems in the community. We can't seem to get this done. We can't seem to get that done. All because we don't know how to love each other, you know? And I think that's one of our biggest problems. So we're going to start right there. And then we have an underlying thought process that affects so many of us, and we don't know exactly what it is. We're going to deal with that a little bit. And we're also going to deal with leadership. Oh, boy, do we need to deal with leadership. So for right now, love is an act that makes others feel good. You know, somebody posted on the web that I think it was one of my daughters. She said, if you commit, if you do the feel good act, you have a feel good life. That was very interesting. As like a new saying she done threw out there, you know. I thought they weren't listening, but they proved to me that they was, you know. But we're going to start just a little bit. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Every Sunday, the first thing we start off with is love, because that's why we're having so much trouble coming together as a family, coming together as a tribe, coming together as groups. And that's another reason why a lot of groups aren't working together, because it's a lack of love. There's other things as well, too. But I remember when I read in the Bible when Yahshua said, just love your enemies. And with the thought process that I had of love, I'm saying, love my enemies. Oh, my God. I said, something's wrong with this guy talking about love your enemies, you know. How you going to love somebody that's abusing you and misusing you and treating you like crap, you know. But when I realized what love was and what love is, then I began to understand more about what these divine beings are talking about, you know? Because love is an act that makes others feel good. So if you're committing acts, whether it's your enemy or not, that only make them feel good, you know? You can literally love your enemy. And that's what we need to be doing on a day-to-day basis. We need to love each other, you know, not the crazy, sickle love that the culture teaches us. You see somebody and all of a sudden just fall on head over heels. You're stalking them and chasing them. You want to kill them because you're with somebody else. I mean, it's like crazy, you know. Well, that's not love, you know. That's some type of, that's a sickness. That's not love, you know. A person that's too young and can't control their emotions, have no emotional control whatsoever. So that's not love. That's not the type of love that we'll be talking about. It's not the type of love that you need when you're trying to pull your tribe together, your family together, and you're trying to work together as a group, as a unit, you know. If you're in a group and you're working with a group, just remember this, that love is the act that makes others feel good. If you don't commit an act that don't make them feel good, you know, then you won't have a problem with that person. Most of the time, we have problems with people because we're committing acts that don't make them feel good. Now, this is a learned behavior. Trust me, if you want to turn the TV on, the radio on, and we'd be going through this all the time because we're constantly committing acts that don't make the other person feel good. And then you wonder why they have an attitude about what's going on, you know? But I like the saying that the daughter came up with. Oh, I don't know if she came up with it, but she put it on Facebook. If you commit feel good acts, you have a feel good life. That sounds pretty good, you know. I'm getting just a little bit more of the love thing, and then we're gonna move to the next thing that I want to talk about. Remember when y'all first get together and you first meet somebody, and y'all be treating each other so nice, and y'all be all lovey and hubby dubby and everything. Then y'all start knocking boots. A year later, everything changed. You ask yourself, who in the world is this person? All of a sudden, you got somebody laying beside you. You don't have a clue who they are, you know, because they play the role to get you. And then when they get you, they think that living life is love. That's not love. when you hook up together, you decide to live life together, to pay the bills, take care of the children, decide who's going to walk the dog, you know. That's living life together, okay? You plan that out and you work it out so that each person will are doing what they're best suited to do. But that has nothing to do with you loving each other. A lot of times we get so caught up in living life together, you know, that we forget how to love each other. Those little things that you do just for him or just for her, you know, that makes a difference. And one thing I say, I said this a couple of times last week, watching the movie Enemy of the State, and Will Smith, he's going out to buy his wife a birthday present. He was getting her bra, you know, and he getting hit on the side. He said, he's got to play with them things every night. And don't know what size they are. Yeah, that, you know, I mean, that's something to think about, you know. So we need to we need to get more and more in tune to what love is and how to treat each other with acts of love. Love is the act and that doubles feel good. Now, here's my next biggest problem. The love thing, that's my main biggest problem. That's why our love affairs aren't working. We have so much trouble after a few years with each other, right? Now, my next thing is the thought process under which you're living under, okay? Now, there's so many different religions out here, okay? But they all have one thing in common. I said, wait a minute. How can all those religions have one thing in common? It's about the thought process. If you are in a mindset where your standing as powerful as you're supposed to be, you can't be controlled or manipulated. So they have to get you with a thought process that's going to break you down right from the beginning so that they can manipulate you and begin to control you to meet their ends and their needs, okay? Now, what is this thought process that they slam everybody with? All the religions on the planet, you know, check them out. They all tell you that you were created. And there's a God up there someplace sitting on a seat, you know, some of them have them sitting up there looking like Abraham Lincoln, you know what I mean? And you got to pray to this God, okay? And this God is going to give you what you need, right? And they become the intermediary between you and this God that you're talking about. You know, you listen to most of the preachers of that. They get on a mic all day long and say, well, God told me this and God told me that. So God is talking to everybody, you know. But they're the only ones that's prospering with the $5 million houses and the jets and the helicopters and all that, but not you, you know. I have people calling me. I can't really answer the phone right now because I'm in the middle of broadcast. I hope I didn't lose where I was here. Okay. So that's one of the main things that we'll be going through is that you were created. And now think about that thought process. That means that you're not equal to and less than something. Think about that. If you're not equal to this thing and you're less than something and you grew up with this all of your life thinking that there's something greater or better than you, you know, then that puts you in a subservient position right from the door, okay? Now, all they have to do is to give you this thing that's greater than you to worship. And now, you can bear with me on this. I don't care what religion you go into, all of them have some kind of different deity for you to worship. Everybody's got some different deity for you to worship, and they're the ones that are communicating with the deity, and you can go through them, and they will give you all of these lessons. Okay? Personally, if I'm in trouble, I'd rather ask the guy down the street for the money, because I know if you guys, I'm getting it, you know what I mean? But it's the thought process that you're under that makes you subservient to what's going on. Now, I'm going to tell you now, you were not created. This is the hardest thing to get through. Well, the Bible said God created Adam and Eve. Well, in the beginning of the book, it said he made him male and female. I didn't mention nothing about no creating men and women. Okay? That's in the beginning of the book. I'm just throwing this out here. See, now think about this for a minute. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. And if you're made up of energy, how are you created? You're made up of the same substance that the cosmos is made of. There's nothing, period, greater than what you see in your mirror. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I want to say this, two things I want to talk about every week. Love, so that we know how to treat each other. And the thought process that you're living under, that you've been developing under, you know? And those two things have kept our communities from coming together like they're supposed to come together, okay? Now, well, I don't have this on the list, but I do want to just mention it for a second. The village. Remember how they say it takes a village to raise a child? Where's your village at? You understand what I'm saying? And now, you know, everybody know I'm a Bible thumper, so. But now, if you go into Abraham, right? Abraham started with just him, his wife, and his nephew. And a few years later, 20, 40 years later, his nephew gets kidnapped. He takes an army to go get his nephew. Now, ask yourself the question, where does army come from? Where did he get an army from to go rescue his nephew? There was only three of them when they started. You know what I'm saying? That's a good question. As they were having the children and growing and building, the village was there. The army came from the village. So they do everything possible to keep you from getting together with your village. Where's your village? It's your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, great aunts, great uncles, the marriage, all that. You're supposed to be connecting with each other. Okay? Why aren't we connecting with each other? This is by design. They do not, under any circumstances, want those villages to come together. Because if the village comes together, now I deal with God and the great God. Okay? Psalm 82, you're all God's children of the Most High. It says it right in the book. Okay? Now I deal with God and the great God. Individually, you are God. Collectively, you are the great God. When that great God comes together, things happen. Things change. I mean, it's like when a hurricane hit and all of the people come together, start sending supplies and money and help. That's the great God coming together. Now, if it was up to the great God, there would never be a war on this planet. This planet would be a paradise if the great God was together, because most of the people don't want to get into wars and killing and fight. Well, you got some people that can't get enough of it, but most of the gods on this planet do not want to engage in war. Now, you got the 1% up there fighting for control. Now, this brings us to our topic for today. The topic for today is leadership, okay? Now, as we get into the topic, if you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is press 1 and let me know that you have something to say, and I'll open up your mic, okay? But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep running my face like I do. Okay? Now, we're talking about leadership. Now, the dictionary says that the condition of being led, the ability to lead, guidance or guidance or direction. Okay? That's what the dictionary is. Those few things that the dictionary threw out. Okay? Now, if you're getting guidance from somebody and that person is leading you, that's what the dictionary says. And the condition of being led. Now, I'm going to drop some information. I think I've said this before, but certain things I'm bringing in, it's a whole different thought process that you haven't been engaged in, and I would like for you to engage in some of these thought processes. Now, am I right? No. Am I wrong? No. I'm just bringing you information just to give you something to think about. Like I was sitting in the hall and say, just another way to think about the same situation that you're in, okay? Now, you are constantly, listen carefully now, you are constantly in a slave-master relationship. What do you mean, man? I ain't no slave. Hold it. See, See, the question is, who is the slave master? See, that's what you have to think about. Once you begin to see, all right, that you're constantly in a slave-master relationship, the question becomes, who is the slave master? Your physical body, all right, that's a slave. That physical body will do whatever you tell it to do. You tell that body to go upstairs and jump off a roof, it's going to jump. It might complain a little bit. Say, oh, man, this is going to hurt. You sure you want me to jump off this building? You know, and you say, I'm tired of all this. Jump. And that physical body is going off the building. You know what I mean? But it will do whatever you tell it to do. You tell it to drink, it will drink. You tell it to stop drinking, it'll stop drinking. You tell it to get high off drugs, it'll take all the drugs in the world. You tell it to stop doing the drugs, it will stop because that body will do whatever you tell it to do. Now, the 1%, they know this. I use the term 1% because the people that are running this planet come in all colors, right? So the 1%, they know this. See what I'm saying? They know that they're lords. They know that they're gods. Remember, as people that were slaves, they made them call them Lord and Master. They got arrested. They got still got some of the stores. Lord and Taylors. And you go over to Britain, they call them Lord Funkeroy, Lord Chambers. They know who they are. No question. See what I'm saying? And their thought process is in line with who they are. Okay? And this is a problem. Now, what they want to do is control as much a greater portion as the great God as they can. Because whoever controls large portions of the great God, they're paid. They're powerful, you know. You get 5 or 10,000 people sending you money, $15, $20 every week, you know what I mean? Giving you donations and all this kind of stuff. You're paid. You can live one more big houses. You know what I'm saying? Because you're in control of portions of the great God. That's where the wealth is. That's where the power is. Now, how does the great God become the great God? The great God becomes the great God through the family. Well, the family is not the term that I like to use, but through the tribe. See what I'm saying? Through the cousins and uncles and aunts and nephews and so forth and so on. That's where the great God gets its power from. That is the great God, okay? And they do everything possible to keep you from coming together to do that. Now, we're talking about leadership, right? Yes, we need leadership, but not the kind of leadership that they're talking about. See, you don't need nobody to lead your slave. See, that's your job. And the only way they can lead your slave is with your consent. I don't care if they torture you, pull your toenails out, or whatever they do. If you decide you're not going to do something, they can't make you do it. That's why you watch some of these movies. They say, hey, torture does not work. Because when the master of the slave decides it ain't going to do something, it ain't going to do something. Even with the children. When your child starts getting old and they decide they're not going to listen, you can beat them whatever you want to do. They're not going to listen, okay? Because they have taken control over that body. They have become the master of that slave, and that slave will do whatever it tell them to do. So we need leaders, yes, but we need leaders to lead themselves. We need everybody to become a leader, but we need you to be the leader that will get up and decide, hey, I'm going to lead myself into law school. I'm going to lead myself into medical school. I'm going to lead myself into the business arena. I'm going to lead myself wherever I have to go, and I will let one of the masters, okay, one of the teachers out there, assume the position of master over my slave to help teach me how to get where I have to go. But I want you to see that they can't do anything without your consent. Now, those of you who are studying law, especially who study the other side of the law, like Brother Willam and brothers like that, without your consent, the government can't do anything. They can't do nothing but you without your consent because you're actually over the government. See what I'm saying? The government can't act unless it has the consent of the governed, because the governed, that's the power of the country. That's why they worry so much. Now, we talk about democracy. There's no democracy here. See what I'm saying? It's a facade. A pledge of allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. Okay? Because this is a republic. As long as they got that electoral college up there, you're operating under the republic. Trust me, I trumped that into the electoral college. You know, Hillary has the most votes. So there's something wrong with the thought processes that they're putting you under. It's not wrong for them because they're manipulating and controlling you because you don't know who you are. And as long as you don't know who you are, they can tell you anything. Well, I'm an African American. I'm a Haitian American. I'm a French American. I'm a German American. You know what I mean? You're relating yourself to these little specks of dirt on this planet they call continents because you don't know who you are. The entire cosmos belongs to you. Hey, bro, what's up? Well, why are we here? I don't know why I'm here. You don't know why you're here because you don't know who you are. If you knew who you were, why you were here wouldn't be no problem. If you know that you are the god of this dimension, then your job is to maintain this dimension. You're supposed to be up there in ships checking on the sun and the moon and the stars and all that's what you're supposed to be doing because that's who you are. Once you come up in the mindset and know that you're God, now your responsibility becomes 6-point-something billion other gods to worry about. Okay? But since you don't know who you are, you're barely worrying about the guy down the street. Most of us live in the neighborhood. We don't know everybody on the block. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know who you are. See? Once you know who you are, that means you can create systems. That's the only thing that we can create. We can't create anything else. We can make stuff out of stuff that's here. When you drop a tree down and make a chair, right? You didn't create the chair. You made the chair from the wood. Okay? There's a difference between make and create. You can't make something from nothing. Now, you learn that very early, okay? So if there was something here, that means that what you're made out of was not a creation, but you were made. You are the universe in an expansion mode. And your job, how you approach yourself as a leader, depends on what thought process you're under, okay? If you're under the thought process that somebody created me, then you're under a limited thought process because you're looking for something outside of yourself for power when you're carrying power. You don't have to ask nobody for power. You're carrying power. You can literally get up and make whatever you – if you're tired of this system, create another one. Don't be sitting here arguing about the old systems. Well, the Hebrew system was this, and the Mosaic system was this, and the Pharaonic system was this. You're arguing about these old systems when you can make up another one to do whatever you want to do with. Why aren't you thinking about making up a new system? Because you have been created. So you're looking for systems that already have been here. And you're looking for somebody to lead you into wherever you're trying to go. This is not what you want. This is not the mindset that you want to live under. You don't want to live where somebody else is in control of your slave. All right? Now, I'm telling you, the 1% know this. So what type of leader you're going to become, that depends on the thought process that you are. I'm now a good leader. Has the people's welfare in mind. A bad leader only has his self welfare in mind. Only has their self welfare in mind. They don't care about the people. They're worrying about the people's minds or thoughts so that they can stay in power. But that's as far as they go. They will cut your head off in a heartbeat. You know, they plan chess. If they got to sacrifice a few pawns to get where they're going, you're out of here. You know, and that's what's going on. That's why we had a big war, 14 million in the First World War, 50 million in the Second World War. We got thousands of people died in the Vietnam conflict, thousands of people died in the Korean conflict, because the 1%, the ones that are leading you, that have control over your slave, that's exactly what they think of you. You are a slave, but you can only be their slave by consent. Okay, now most of the leaders create problems so that you can come to them to solve them. Now, I know some of you don't want to hear that, but I'm going to say it again. Most of the leaders create problems so that you can come to them to solve the problems. You follow what I'm saying? But if you got together collectively, you don't need no one person to stand up and solve your problem for you. Come together collectively. There's people in your collective that know the solutions to the problems, know how the problem started, when it started, where it started. They can tell you everything. And you can come up with systems. This is where the creation comes in. Once you understand that you were not created, that you are a creator, then you can create what you need. Think about it. When 1%, when they need planes, they'll go with one of their hands and they say, "Oh, Lord, send me some planes down here." Man, they get their people together and they start building our factories and planes. If they don't have the diagrams for the plane, what do? They go out and steal it. That's what you got the CIA and all those guys for. They go out and steal whatever the 1% need to keep them going ahead. Now, think about this, okay? As a leader, where are you leading yourself to? Or you're leading yourself to, most of us don't even think about, where am I leading? Where am I going? What's going to lead me tomorrow? I'm leading myself to make money. Why am I leading myself to make money? You get a certain amount of money, then what? You know? Everything depends on the thought process of who, knowing who you are, you know? Don't tie me to this little speck of dirt when I got millions of planets out there that I can roll to. I just got to get myself set up so I can get there. But I got millions of planets out there because I know who I am. I didn't come from this little speck. I come from all of that. You know, I am connected to the entire galaxy. I'm connected to everything. I'm carrying power. I can create a system to do whatever I want. If you know who you are, your whole reality changes. That's why in the book. Now, here's another thing. Now, think about this. Just think about this for a second. Here you got this guy named King James, and you got Constantine. They took that book and conquered the planet. They took the Bible. They conquered the planet with the Bible, and you guys are throwing it in the trash. Now, what are they reading that you're not reading? How is it that they can read the book and set up nations, and you can read the book and be miserable as I don't know what? Don't know what's going on next. Don't know who to go to where, how to get anything. Who's teaching them how to read the book? And who's teaching you how to read the book? When a person that's teaching you how to read the book, if you don't have what they have, then you got to move on. You got to get somebody else to teach you how to read the book. You got to consent for somebody else to make you to take over your slave. Follow what I'm saying? Because that's what you're doing. This physical body is a slave. Now, I'm saying all this because this, how you think about yourself and how you think about who you are determines, right, what kind of leader that you're going to be. They talking about the people list and the people that, I'm going to be honest with you, most of those people out there lead you don't give 2 cents about the people. They're worrying about their position and how they can keep drawing as much money as possible so that they can keep living the lifestyle that they're living, okay? And most leaders, when you think about it, most leaders don't want to do anything unless they're getting credit for it, okay? For instance, I spent some time with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, Elijah said this, Elijah said that, Elijah said this, Elijah said that. All the credit went to the leader. See? Same thing with the preachers. Well, T.J. Jakes said this, T.J. Jakes said that. All the credit is going to the leader. And that's the only people they want around them is the one that's giving them credit for what's going on. Take the great God out from under them. What are they doing? Absolutely nothing. See, they realize that they have to control portions of the great God to get whatever wealth they're going to get, to grow into whatever they're going to grow into, okay? I just want to stop for a minute and also say thank everybody that's on the line. I appreciate you listening and tuning in. And if you have anything to say, just press 1, and I'll bring you in right away if you have a comment or anything about what I'm saying, or if you just want to talk about, give a shout out about your show, if you have something going on, then you can do that as well, okay? But right now, I just want to stop and thank everybody that has chimed in. And I just want to deal with the thought process. And we're talking about leader. See what I'm saying? We talk about leadership and leading. Now, if we, everybody, without exception, need to be a leader. But you need to learn how to lead yourself. Now, here's the good question that's been asked to me. Do the leaders have to follow rules? And sure, the leaders have to follow rules, but a lot of leaders don't follow the rules because they feel as though they're above the rules. In fact, I was reading the Bible the other day, and I think it was Mark 12:3 and 12:4, whereas David, well, it wasn't Mark, Matthew. They were saying that him and his crew was hungry, you know, with Jesus and his crew, with David and his crew. part of the story I get mixed up, but the underlying theme of the story is that they went into the priesthood to get some food, and it was against the law. It wasn't lawful for them to get the food, okay? And even the priests would eat on the Sabbath, but the people couldn't eat on the Sabbath. They live by a different set of rules than the people because they're leaders. They think they have some kind of a special connection with Source, special connection with the God that they're dealing with, you know? So they don't live by the same rules that you do, but that's not how it's supposed to be. Your leaders are supposed to be more exacting to the rules than you are. They're not supposed to break the rules. Follow what I'm saying? And the leaders aren't supposed to be making up the rules either. The people are supposed to be making up the rules, and the leaders are supposed to be strong leaders of themselves, not breaking the rules. You look at what's going on up there in Congress and the Senate and the White House, and what kind of leaders we got up there, you know? They don't live by the same rules that you live by. They live by a different thought process. They're used to being in control of themselves and the slaves around them. And that's what they want. I mean, if you look at how Trump acting, you know, he's acting in a way where he expects people to just be his slave. You know, do what I tell you or you're fired. You're out. You know, you understand what I'm saying? This system, now this system is a military construct, all right? This system is set up. It's leadership-based. I don't care what departments you go into, what job you get, there's a slave master there. You know, call themselves a manager, assistant manager, whatever they are. But you do what the slave master tell you, or they bounce you out. You follow what I'm saying? That's how there's not a consensus on the job. You got a boss there. And you jump through the boss's hoops when he say it. But you're there by consent, see? If you didn't give your consent to this guy, there's nothing he can say to you. Once you need that job, man, he better not say the wrong thing to you. Stop and smack him in his mouth. You know what I'm saying? But you're consenting to him being your slave master because of the money. Because you got to pay your bills. You have to eat. You have to provide food. Okay? This is how you were taught. This is how you were trained as a child coming up. You're not trained to be self-sufficient. You're not trained to go out and do whatever you need to do for yourself. You're trained to rely on somebody else. Now, the 1%, knowing that they're God, right, they're setting up plans to feed millions because this is the thought process. My responsibility is the entire planet and the cosmos. They're building ships to go out there. You ain't building this. How much money have you guys been sending to NASA for the ship so that maybe you can go with them? Ain't sending money. Most of you ain't thinking about NASA. Your mind is not even on that kind of stuff because you think that because of some speck of dirt on one of these continents that's what makes you who you are. I mean, think about that. Here you are, master of this entire dimension. You have the thought process to build and develop whatever you want, to do whatever you want, and you're tied to this little speck of dirt called Africa, called India, called China, called whatever they're calling it. You're tying yourself to a little speck of dirt when the entire cosmos is yours. You know, I don't know how many of you saw the movie. Well, I guess most of us saw it when it first came out. I think it was Roots. When the baby came out, the guy held the baby up. Said, there's nothing greater than you. Nothing. And we had to get back to that particular thought process. We have to get back to reading the book and accepting the book for what it's telling you, who you actually are. All of the books tell you that you're some kind of divine being. They'll tell you that. But somebody has told you that you were created and you're less than and not equal to. You can't be equal to the creator. I mean, who can be equal to the God that made you, you know? I mean, or I say God that created you. Because there is a God that made you. It's called mom and pop. Okay? Let's not get it twisted. You were made. You were made by God. Mom and pop. Very ingredients went into you to make you who and what you are. So that's the God that made you. All right? Now they take, well, I don't have a creator. They're taking you all the way back millions of years ago to some creation thing. Duh. I'm just saying, you know? I didn't mean to put it like that. But it's just, when you stop and think about the subliminal stuff that they're dropping on you and how they make you think in terms of ways so that they can use and manipulate you, you know? Okay, let's deal with another portion of the Bible, right? I go back to the book. I think it's one of the most powerful books I've ever read because I know how to read it, okay? When it's talking about creating, it wasn't talking about men and women, okay? when it talk about making, when it talk about creating, that's a whole different thought process. That's a scientific procedure that they were talking about, all right? They were talking about breathing the breath of life into the clay, okay? And the clay became a living soul. So there's a spiritual aspect to your physical self. That spiritual access, that breath of life, as we're calling it, that's who you are. Don't get caught up on the color of your skin or the type of hair you got or whether you're male or female. That spiritual entity that's inside you, that's your power. That's who you are. And Martin Luther King put it a little simply. He said, we got to judge a person by the contents of their character. You know? You got to deal with who you really are. Now we got people around here praying to the ancestors, but they don't realize that they are the ancestors. This is not your first rodeo, man. You've been here more than once, okay? And I'll tell you how to check that out. When you look at your hands, right, you got two lines that go in between your thumb and index finger. If those two lines are connected, you've been here more than once. If both hands are connected, you've been here more than three times. You follow what I'm saying? If they're not connected, this might be your first time in after 500 years. It takes 500 years it takes 500 years to come into a state like this. So maybe you've just been here for 500 years. But most of you are the ancestors. You know, think about this. There's times when you sit back quietly by yourself and you begin to see and remember stuff that you ain't got no minutes remembering. You begin to see stuff. Wait a minute. I wasn't back there then, but yes, you were back there then, you know? You'd be amazed at how long you've been sojourning in this universe. You are the ancestors. You're praying to yourself. In other words, this is what I'm saying. I'm just trying to get you to see, am I right? No, I'm not right, and I'm wrong. I'm not wrong either. This is just something to think about, man, you know? Think about this for a minute. If all the religions are so different, right, why do all the leaders insist that you were created? Don't matter what religion it is. They insist that you were created. And they insist that you have to go and bow down and pray to this, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Every religion got something different for you to pray to, right? But it's only supposed to be one God. But everybody's praying to somebody different. Just think about what I'm saying. It's manipulation, mind control. Everybody's trying to get portions of the great God. If you can control portions of the great God, man, you paid. I'm telling you, you are paid, okay? They'll send you money, they'll send you donations, they'll send you gifts, land, everything. If you can control portions of the great God, because that's where the power is. You are the power of this planet. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you heard of that. You are the power of this planet. I'm going to stop for a minute again and thank everybody who's chimed in. Now, I don't know if, well, I got quite a few calls on the line, everybody listening. That's good. But if you do have something to say, just push one, and I'll it will notify me that you want to, that you have something to say, and I'll bring you in right away. You know, you don't have to wait. I'll bring you in right away. But I do want to thank everybody for chiming in and listening to me, because what I give you on Sunday is a different way of seeing what everybody else is talking about, all right? And this is something that we need to do, because everybody's giving you the same look at this information, all right? Now, one thing that you have to see is how to treat each other. Love is the act that makes us feel good. That is so important. Another thing that you have to see, when you look in that mirror, there's nothing greater nowhere, anywhere, up, down, sideways, backwards, or forwards, greater than you. But now this is something that you have to realize too. You're not greater than anybody else. I don't care what color or shape your face or your head is. You know what I mean? You're not greater than nobody, and then nobody greater than you. Equality. You're all equal one to another. And this is where groups make mistakes. When they start teaching that one group is better than the other group, this guy, a war is coming. Because the group, each group that thinks they're better than the other group, they want to fight. It's my destiny to rule. I think who's the last one that did that across so many deaths? Oh, his name was Hitler. We're the great Aryan race. There's nobody greater than us. Until he ran into Jesse Owens and Wilmer Rudolph. You know what I mean? Oh, we the best thing on the planet. You know, until the great God, he took a portion of the great God. And look at the devastation that he caused. I mean, Hitler got paid on God. He was a wealthy man. He went from nothing to being wealthy and powerful, controlling the great God with the hate rhetoric. Follow what I'm saying? But look at the devastation and the destruction it caused. See what I'm saying? Teaching people that they're better than somebody else. And they want to live up to that. Well, I'm better than you. We got a class system here. This class system here, people have that mindset that they're better than this person, or this person better than that person. Uh-uh. Because the shell that you're looking at is not the person. And when you do that, you underestimate your enemy. Blacks at one time ruled this planet, and they thought that the white race was inferior. Huh? Think about that. But who's in control? Who's growing your food now? Who's putting the food in the supermarket so you can put your food on your table? You understand what I'm saying? Because somebody told this man, somebody told this Caucasian, well, I'm saying Caucasian loosely because they're not really from the Caucasus Mountains, but somebody told this person that he was God. He went to Kemet, and somebody told him that God was a man. He said, oh, my goodness. Somebody told him about the spiritual aspect coming through my art and all the teachings, you know, coming through Isis and Osiris. And he started learning. He said, wait a minute. If I'm God, because not because of my shell, but because of what's inside me, then I'm equal to anybody on the planet. And I don't have to put up with nobody dominating me. And from that point on, okay, he rose. Took him 800 years to get out from under black rule, but they did it. You follow what I'm saying? Now they want to make sure they don't get back under black rule, because we're teaching the same rhetoric that he used to teach back in the day. We're better than this because we got this. We're better than this because we got that. You're going to underestimate that conscious energy formed in flesh. You're going to underestimate the consciousness that's living inside that shell. And when you do that, you're asking for trouble. right? Listen, listen well. There's nobody greater than what you see in that mirror. And you're not greater than anything that you see with your eyes. You're not better than nobody. You're not greater than nobody. And nobody's greater or better than you, okay? You can create, people, but you can create systems, created us. A creator creates the system, this republic that we're under right now, Nahmer. He created this system. It's called a war machine. The republic is called a war machine. This system is called a war machine because he knew the Hyksos was coming. And he knew he needed to have a system of professional warriors because at one time, you study your history, the farmers used to get together and fight. The village. Okay, we're back to the village again. The village elders. We didn't have the leaders back then. We had people who were wise and gave guidance to the rest of the people. Okay? They realized that this thing was coming, and Nahmer created this thing called the Republic. It was a war machine. They needed professional soldiers to fight. And ever since Nahmer united Upper and Lower Kemet, all right, we've had professional soldiers, all right? That's what the Republic is all about. The Republic is a war machine that creates professional soldiers to fight and do its bidding. Now, I'm just dropping the information, okay? Now, you're living under a republic. Now, when the republic say, we want to make peace with you, what they're saying is that, see, peace is an act of war against war. That's what peace is. So when they make peace with you, you're supposed to build up your military because whoever builds up their military the fastest, they come and take over your stuff. That's what happened to the Indians. They made peace treaties with the Indians. Indians sit around, they ain't building a war machine, but they kept producing armies and armies, and they were all over the planet looking for different stuff to fight with. I think we got a hand up, so let me bring this person in right quick. Hold on. This is 5298. 5298, you're on the air. Your mic is open. You have a question or comment?
Hey, brother, this Brother Will, what I am.
Brother Will, what's up, young man?
Man, what's going on, brother? What's going on? You dropping the jewels as usual. The Republican form of government was free. That's when, like you said, we didn't have no leaders and nobody to dictate over. That's my understanding of what Republican is. And I think the Republican existed before Nomar. Nomar didn't create it. It existed before him because that comes out of the cosmos.
Okay. So we're going back, how far back are you going? When you say cosmos, that takes us into millions of years.
Exactly, because when you're going back into the cosmos, that's when the feminine energy ruled. That's when we was all up under the mother energy. So there was no leaders, and everything was free because everything was put out here for us to enjoy and to use. So I'm going back before Nomar, before there was even kingdom.
At least
yeah, because there was no kingdom.
Years.
Exactly, because there was no kingdoms then. See, kingdoms came into play when Nomar came into play, and that's when we switched over from. That was the first New World Order. And a lot of people don't understand that. The first New World Order was when Nomar and them set up this system to take it from the mother energy. So that was the first New World Order, and that was the first war. Your first wars were gender wars between the men and the women. They weren't against nations at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was men and women.
Before we had the king, we didn't have professional soldiers, see? And the Nahmer, he set up that professional soldier and went against the king of the south. Actually, what was the Scorpion King? But a lot of people don't know they made a movable rock called the Scorpion King, and we didn't know that was the king of the south in Kemet. And so we've had professional soldiers ever since then, you know. But at one time, back when you were talking about, it was the farmers, the people that was running the country, people that was running things, the elders and all that. They used to get together and come together and fight. Over whatever they were fighting over, you know. But then when Nama came along, that's when a professional soldier came along, as far as my knowledge is concerned, you know? Because I do know we had great cultures when Kemet was just a swamp. I think that was, who was the little short guys, I forget their name, the Twa. The Twa, what was the other group that helped build Kemet? Huh?
You had the Twa, you had the what you know as the Nubians, because the Nubians became the first kings of the dynasty, the patriarchal system, and you had the Twa people, and you had the I can see it.
I know we're going back.
Right. It's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't. I know you're talking about the other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're exactly right on.
Right, and the group that I know that one of the leaders, Haramakas, that's the guy whose picture is on the Sphinx.
Exactly.
His crew and the Twa, I forget the name of the crew, who they were, but it was him and the Twa people that actually designed and developed Kemet. So you're right. That time, even in the Bible, they spoke of a time when there wasn't no kings, you know?
Exactly.
Everybody knew they were gods, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
People said they wanted a king, but you put a timeline on it when you mentioned it the other day that it was pre-Kemet, you know, before the king. So that was a good thought that you dropped out there, you know. Yeah.
With your kings with Nomar, see what a lot of people don't understand that. Nomar is many as well. Menes and Nomar is actually the same being, but they put separation out here to put them in two different times. But Menes, Nomar, all of them was the same. And then that's when you're going into Pan. Pan, when you're dealing with Pan, now you're going, Pan deals with the Baphomet, which means the half man, the half goat, where they talk about the so-called devil. Now you're going into that. And all of that, Nomar and all that came out of Pan. So now when you go come in here today, where we at now, when you hear all this Pan-African movement and all that, that's the system of Nomar. That's the patriarchal system.
And you're right. Now, subliminally, they have taken Nomar from us, because if you notice, Rock, when he was fighting as the Scorpion King, most of us didn't know that the Scorpion King was the King of the South, but the guy he was fighting was a white king. So subliminally, they took Nomar from us as a black man. You know, made him white. That's a subliminal reduction, how they do stuff, you know. But since we don't know our history, we didn't know that the Scorpion King was the king of the south of Kemet, and that he was fighting Nomar. But they had him fighting the white boy, you know. So subliminally, this is what they do. They subliminalize us and take our history from us without us even knowing it. It's just amazing how smart the 1% is, you know.
You're exactly right. When I say we need to study them. See, a lot of us, we've been programmed with the fear factor, with the guns, the shackles, and all these horrific ass stories they don't put out here to keep you mentally frozen. That system, when they use Nomar. But just like you said earlier, when they talk about when you read in the Bible and they talk about that we're supposed to have heaven on this plane, just like you're supposed to have in earth. I mean, heaven and earth supposed to be the same. You're supposed to have the same experience. All right. Well, when you're talking about that system being put together, that system with the Twa and all them, they were putting this heaven together for everybody to experience. So all nations outside of Kemet can come into Kemet and have that experience. There were Kemets all over the continent. And that's another thing that they jammed us up on, mentally froze us on, because now every time that we talk about Kemet, everybody automatically goes to what y'all know as Egypt today. And we had many Kemets. There was Kemets all over. There was Kemets on every landmass. There was a Kemet on every landmass, and our people don't understand that as well. We had a Kemet over here on this landmass, and you know, all our people don't understand that concept.
Yeah, well, that's see, now when you brought out that introduced us to that book, When Rocks Cry Out. See, that's one of the things that he made plain, that this was a global empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the Americas was a global empire, and we had what they call those things, Olympics and stadiums. We had everything. You know, we had armadas traveling back and forth all over the doggone continent, or from continent to continent, you know. And this is the stuff that they're not giving us in school. They're literally keeping a lot of our history from us. And and as long as we're under the thought process that we're under, we don't know how to come out from under under what they're giving us into our divine self, see, because every divine book that them came about is telling you that you are a divine being, that you are a God, you know, and that you have this spiritual essence about you that's powerful, you know. And if we learn how to tap that, nothing will be able to overcome us. Nothing will be able to take advantage of us. We're some very powerful things. Now, my problem is that we're looking at each other and judging the shell rather than the spirit that's in the shell, you know? And that's my problem, what's going on right now, you know? And as long as you don't recognize that person across from you is equal to you, you'll underestimate him. And before you know it, he'll have his foot on your neck, you know?
That thought process, you right on the money with that. That's the thought process of the auto. If y'all go read the Art of War, it's what Brother L is breaking down. It breaks that down clearly in there. You never underestimate your enemy. Never do that. And like you said, once you put yourself over them, that's the biggest mistake, because the cosmos is all about balance. See, you got a whole bunch of systems out here. But if each system, and I will say this, and I'm gonna yield. Each system, Brother L is right, that we are creators, and we can create any system. If any system, if the ending of that system or the whole meaning of that system does not have balance in it, that is a false system. Period. Period. That's undisputed, not an option. It's period. So we because the cosmos is all about balance. That means that there was no need of wars. There was no need of starvation. There was no need of enslavement. None of that. So that was all about balance. So if any system that's created out here is not about balance, you don't need to be dealing with that system. And I'm going to yield.
And you're absolutely right. And that's the basis of how the entire cosmos works. Through action and reaction, you reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Because if the actions that you're putting out is not equality for everybody, then it's not balanced. And if a system is not balanced, sooner or later it's going to go away. This is why the systems, even systems that last for 1,000 years, gone away, you know, because there was an imbalance. And I agree with you. Well, we got about a minute, and we got 90 seconds left. So I want to thank you, Brother Will, for tuning in and introducing the thought process that you did. I appreciate that. And we'll be here every Sunday at 3 o'clock. And the call-in number is 516-453-9230, okay? And I remember, just press 1. And all of those that are on the line and listening, and I appreciate you calling and listening. Thank you so much. I am Elohim. I go by Elohim Christ. I have a CD on the market. It's a gospel CD. I'm singing about Jesus or Yahshua. And I also have a book on the market. It's called Tyrannical Scriptures, Part 1 and 2. I have other books, but they're not on the market right now. Some of them are never going to go on the market because of what's in them. But so there's a lot going on, and y'all call it every week. And my whole thing is to just to give you a different way of looking at things. I'm not right, and I'm not wrong. It's just a different way to see what everybody's been telling you, okay? So just another way of looking at the same information that we've been getting all along, okay? Now I want you to remember, love is the act that makes others feel good. So if you have a feel good life, you have if you do feel good acts, you have a feel good life. One of the sisters just put that on the internet, and I kind of liked it. All right, so I love you, and I look forward to chit chatting with you next week. Okay, much love.
Much love.